Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson. I'm pretty excited today, ladies and gentlemen, because there's biotechs and there's biotechs. Today, I'm talking with Tom Duthie. He is the Executive Director of Invex Therapeutics. The ASX code is IXC. Hope I got that right. Tom, it is IXC, isn't it? I just suddenly had a brain fade. Yeah? Excellent. We're going to have a lot of fun, ladies and gentlemen, because it's really interesting what these guys are doing. Now, Tom Duthie, as Executive Director, he's got really deep financial market experience because he was a decade as an analyst in this sector and he understands the sector. And these guys are very conscious of shareholder value, which I'm going to unpack with Tom today. Tom, welcome to Small Caps. Before we get started, though,
thanks, Karen.
Can you just share, because you also were involved with Certex from memory and they got sold for, it was quite good for shareholders, I think.
So thank you for that very kind introduction. I was involved as head of corporate development and investor relations at Certex Medical Limited following sort of my 10-year career on the sell side.
Yep.
And we went through two takeovers, in fact, and a reasonably aggressive valuation at the time. And we were subsequently acquired in September 2018 by Chinese private equity for $1.9 billion, which I was very proud of and still remains the largest medical device transaction in Australian corporate history.
Oh, wow.
And for shareholders, it represented a sort of an annual return of over 20% per annum over 10 years. So very pleasing outcome for Certex and its shareholders.
What attracted you to, and look, first of all, I guess, we'll get into what attracted you to Invex in a minute, but because we're talking for the first time, some people might not know who Invex are. So let's just do this sort of the elevator pitch. Who are Invex Therapeutics? What are you doing?
Sure. So we're a biopharmaceutical development company which seeks to repurpose a currently approved drug called exenatide for the express purpose of treating what is called an orphan disease, and that disease name is idiopathic intracranial hypertension, or IAH. It's a mouthful to say.
Yeah.
A bit easier if I abbreviate it to the acronym. But importantly, IAH is as I mentioned, is an orphan disease, primarily of women of childbearing age. And very unfortunately for these sufferers, this is a condition where there is excess pressure built up in the brains of these patients, and they suffer intolerable and progressive headaches, and in some cases, permanent vision loss. And the incidence of this indication is growing at about 3.4% per annum a year. So it is growing as the population unfortunately gets puts on more weight and gets fatter.
Oh, is that right?
And so, yeah, so that's right. So these patients invariably have a high BMI or body mass index. And why we're interested in this area so much is it's a completely unencumbered drug therapy space. There are no current approved treatments for IAH. These poor patients are admitted to highly invasive neurosurgical procedures to help alleviate the pressure in their brains and to normalize the effects of that pressure, as I mentioned, headache and vision. Or they even undergo very, very risky eye procedures to basically help reduce the compression on the optic nerve, which is leading to blindness. So we'd like to think we will solve a problem that currently exists for these poor patients, in that there's no standard drug treatment that improves and ameliorates their condition.
So is it just the one? So with Invex, is it just this one particular focus, this one particular drug that you're getting to market?
Yeah, it's a good question. We've been, you know, with the financial resources we have and the company structure that we currently have as well, we've been expressly focused on the clinical development of exenatide, which we've branded or trademarked as Presendin. So that's our proprietary formulation of exenatide.
Okay.
And we've been, you know, as I mentioned, innately focused on getting Presendin into patients as part of a pivotal phase three trial for registration of this drug in one or more global markets. And so we haven't had this drug trialed, if you like, in other disease states, but our patent position, with US patents being issued, European patents and Japanese patents, is effectively allows this class of drugs, exenatide being one drug of a complete class. Our patents actually cover a class of these drugs in the treatment of pressure-related disorders of the brain. So IIH is one of them, but there are many others.
So would you put stroke and that sort of pressure on the brain, would that potentially be? Because what I'm trying to unpack here, Tom, is how big's the market? Because from an investor's point of view, if it's just, because it sounded to me when you first started talking about it, that this could be quite a niche market, possibly quite a small market. Where's the value for investors going forward? Talk to me about the market size as you see it.
Yeah, so we've done a fair bit of extensive internal modelling using referenceable scientific and other health economic literature to support our case that if we think about the United States and Europe on the whole, there are around 40,000 patients with IIH in both those markets. And you say to yourself, well that's tiny versus call it, say, cancer or arthritis. However, the exquisite beauty of an orphan disease indication is that these patients are currently untreatable. And so if you look at the total addressable market, and we've provided schematic diagrams on this for investors to kind of step them through how we think about our market, the actual market size for a chronically administered drug, which Presendin will be, these patients have a problem with pressure. And so you need to lower pressure. As soon as you take the drug away, the pressure goes up and their symptoms return. And so when we look at those numbers, which are referenceable, as I mentioned, we see a total addressable market of $1.6 billion Australian annually in the European Union and the US. And that, as I mentioned, that market's growing 3.4% per annum. So, the TAM is large, but what I particularly like about being as part of an orphan drug company is that addressable market is pure. It's not confounded by 20 other drugs that are approved, in which case we'd be battling those drugs for market share. It's unencumbered.
Well, you mentioned patents before. You mentioned Japan and the US and I think Europe, but are there barriers to entry? Are other people doing a similar drug to you? Because, again, as an investor, you want to look at it and say, well, what if somebody comes in and cuts their grass and then...
Yeah, and it's a patent's only as good as the person defending it. So, as you rightly expressed, we have issued patents for the use of this class of drugs in the treatment of neurological conditions relating to pressure. And those patents extend beyond 2035. But if I overlay that sort of first barrier to entry for prospective competitors, the second barrier that we've put in place, I think, is probably even more attractive than the first, and that being we've been granted orphan drug designation for exenatide, being the drug, to treat IIH in both Europe and the United States. And so by virtue of those designations, the European Union effectively grant a 10-year market exclusivity to the orphan drug holder, and the US will grant 7 years. So irrespective of the strength of the patents, there is a legislative framework that protects Invex from anyone developing exenatide for IIH who wishes to tackle that market against us in the first 10 years or 7 years, respectively. So they're pretty good barriers.
Is that from when the drug gets to market, or is that from now?
Great question. So and very prescient one too, because it actually is from the date the market is approved, that the drug is approved on market. So a patent, the clock ticks over 20 years from the time you file it, right? Yeah. So you might get to market at 19 years and you're only conferred 1 year of a monopoly position, whereas an orphan drug designation, the clock starts from the day you're approved.
All right, so let's talk about approval. Where are you at in terms of this drug? Because you've announced a major collaboration with the South Korean company, Peptron. Talk to us about why you've done that deal and, again, why that is good for shareholders.
Yeah, definitely. Earlier this week, we signed a collaboration and manufacturing agreement with Peptron Inc., who are based in Daejeon, South Korea. And I guess the rhyme and reason in a very compressed sense as to why we entered into that transaction is Peptron have an extensive preclinical and clinical data set regarding a long-acting exenatide formulation, which would be a once-a-week formulation for IAH sufferers for us. And so we're working on exenatide. They are working on exenatide for Parkinson's disease, and they have a manufacturing facility for Parkinson's disease. And so there's a nice complementarity of our patent positions, our orphan drug designations, and collectively Invex's need for a formulation of exenatide that we can use from a sales and marketing perspective. And Peptron fitted the bill perfectly. They had they have a good manufacturing practice or GMP manufacturing site in Korea that has sufficient volume capacity to meet not only our clinical supply demands, but also our commercial supply thereafter. And we entered into a deal that has a fixed price per dose of this drug from Peptron. There are no royalties. There are no commercial milestones payable. So we preserve the integrity of our own margins for the express purpose of dealing with government and private payers or sales and marketing partners later on. But what this deal also does for Invex is it de-risks Invex having to formulate this drug exenatide for our purposes. It also saves us around $3 million in the costs associated with having to do that process ourselves, because we would need to test this in animals and humans
right
again. And I won't bore you with
details
on why that's important, but nonetheless, we bypass all of that. So we save $3 million, but we save 12 months in timelines with that. Yeah. And we also de-risk it because Peptron have granted us access to their full preclinical and clinical package as it relates to that formulation, which we will brand Presendin in IIH.
Okay. So I want to talk timelines and I want to see where the value is going, but at the moment you've got about a market cap of 50 mil. You've got close to just over 30 million in the bank. Share price has been pretty okay at the moment, and I know that you've got skin in the game. What do you think is going to be a catalyst to light a fire under this and get people to fully understand where Invex are at?
Yeah, so it's an interesting observation. I'd make the point with respect to our market cap and our current cash position. You've called that out perfectly. The cash position is around $33 million, market cap, give or take 50. So the technology value or the enterprise value that the market is ascribing to this company is in the order of, $16-17 million. So if I, sort of compare and contrast that valuation with where we're at from a clinical development perspective in light of the Peptron agreement, which now sort of, I think, de-risks our manufacturing piece, I think we're in a very good position now to grow off that base as the investors grow in their confidence in our ability to commence this phase three trial, which we expect to commence in the first half of next calendar year. For us, the next thing that we need to deliver to shareholders as part of that, puzzle, if you like, is to articulate our final clinical and regulatory strategy.
Yes.
Which we plan to do in early Q4 of 2021. And so investors will see.
I was hoping you were going to do it today, Tom. I was going to try and tease that out of you today and go, come on, give us the.
Who doesn't like an exclusive?
But that's what I kind of want to find out is, what's the pathway to get this drug to market? What's the timing of it? Because I know you've got skin in the game as well. You say you're fully funded. Can you give us a bit more on the timeline? As I said before, what you think is going to get the market to suddenly realize that you've got this orphan drug, which is fully funded into development, but what's the timeline?
Yeah. And that's sort of in part, you're right, the final piece here. So we've gone through a very extensive what's called scientific and protocol advice process with both the European Medicines Agency, or the EMA, and the US Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, both being gatekeepers of Europe and the United States, respectively. And you, what you do as a sponsor or a company, you take that scientific advice as it relates to your own clinical trial protocol, you refine it, you speak to your advisors, you determine what is the best and most appropriate trial to run that recognises the need of a global regulator to see two things: effectiveness of your drug, i.e. does it work, and B, is it safe? The safety piece we're naturally very confident on. This drug is a repurposed drug. It's been in millions of patients globally in a condition called type 2 diabetes. So we're repurposing this drug for IH. And what we wanted to do, or what we seek to do, is to harmonise both the European and the US Food and Drug Administration. So we could potentially run one single phase 3 study under our orphan drug designation that's applicable for both markets. Having said that, what the Europeans requested from INVEX and what the Food and Drug Administration requested from INVEX were two slightly different things. So the FDA, as reported in June 2021, would like INVEX to show a vision-based primary endpoint, i.e., you know, how does this impact vision on these patients? The Europeans, on the other hand, were perfectly comfortable with a clinical measure, which we would prefer was headache, but also wanted to see, you know, what effect on pressure in the brain our drug actually conferred as well. So an improvement in pressure and an improvement in, call it, headache. So this process that's coming to an end now is to determine, based on our expert ophthalmologist, our headache guys, our reg and clinical consultants, is can INVEX harmonise both the FDA and the European requirement in one study, or is that just too difficult? In which case, do we elect to go to say just Europe, where we have effectively scientific advice that says we will accept a single phase 3, but you need to show a clinical measure being headache or pressure, and pressure as well. And so we'll be able to articulate that outcome to shareholders in the coming weeks ahead.
In the coming weeks, okay. You haven't mentioned Australia at all. Are you not focused here in Australia?
We plan to actually set up centres in Australia as part of an overall group clinical trial strategy. What I would say is that, relative to, say, a much larger populace like the United States, the incidence of IH is quite small. And so you would run an Australian site for the express aim, of course, of securing TGA approval at some point in time.
Yeah.
But you would never bet the farm on setting up multiple centres in Australia, because your recruitment would be constrained by the lack of patients generally.
We're too healthy down here, aren't we, Tom?
We are, but we tend to put on a lot of weight, so that's conducive for IH.
Yeah, okay. Well, we let's not talk weight. I'm female, all right? Yeah. One of the things, because we are running out of time, that I want to talk about is this manufacturing deal with Peptron. What are the next steps? Because you've announced it, but when does it all start?
Sure. So we expect our first batch of product for clinical trial purposes in Q4 of this calendar year. So
coming
essentially that means that INVEX will label this batch as Presendin, and then it's ready and available for when we start recruiting patients in our phase 3 program, as I mentioned, for first half next calendar year.
Yep.
The other piece to that is, you know, how does that clinical trial look? Is it Europe and the US? Is it Europe? You know, we'll be able to articulate that answer in the coming weeks. But that's certainly the next step from Peptron's perspective. And it is just generally a manufacturing arrangement where we will purchase from them and we will deliver a clinical trial outcome, hopefully, and then that will lead to a commercial supply.
Okay, so from again going back to investors, your burn rate is pretty tight, and what I liked to when I started to unpack the story is you're fairly tight with your costs, and I guess this deal with Peptron was part of that, because you're saving a little bit more money. 75 million shares on issue, so it's not a huge amount. Tell me why and how you've kept the burn rate so low. What's it at? You're fully funded. Tell me what the driving force behind that is.
Yeah, so we run the business off the smell of an oily rag, effectively. Like so that. The average quarterly corporate burn, so bear in mind that we are going to start a phase three study, and in future periods, the actual R&D expenditure or the clinical expenditure will ramp. That's to be expected. But from a corporate perspective, our average burn on a quarterly basis over the last 12 months is about $400,000 per quarter. So we're not embarking on highly paid and expensive executive teams that, frankly, you don't need when you're running more or less a virtual model that uses the best available consultants to help drive your clinical programs.
Right.
So that's a good thing, I think. As we await the commencement of this study, we're not burning funds. And as you rightly point out, $32.7 million in the bank, this business is fully funded with adequate financial resources spare to fund Presendin to a commercial event being a market approval.
Okay,
so we are fully funded to do that.
Okay, we're running out of time. I do have one question for you, which is the big boys are out there. They quite often look at you guys and think, any sniffing around at the moment? And, you know, you mentioned Cirtec right at the beginning, and that was a great deal for shareholders. Do you see, are there any similarities with what you did with Cirtec and what you're doing with Invex?
I think at the end of the day, the value accretion you can deliver as a director of a biotech company is almost certainly tied to your clinical success and the package of data to support a market registration. So, you know, we are effectively a rounding error for large pharma at this current juncture.
Oh, wow.
We would not even measure on their earnings profile. And so, you know, for us, we see as a management, as an executive team and directors, that the most value we will get for shareholders ultimately, and not to say that, of course, if the right opportunity presents, we'd look at it, but the plan has always been to take this drug through. We are high conviction believers in this drug for IH, to take this through to market. And then I think we'll be in a position where we will have equity value that reflects, I hope, the stage of development the company is at. Whereas right now, we would say we are poised for a strong re-rating as we endeavor to start these studies. But with a market cap of 50 million, it would be an utter steal and probably wouldn't be in the best interest of shareholders at these levels.
No,
and
I don't think
an acquirer would grabble the cash too. So
yeah, so you keep the moat around you for the moment, Tom. Tom, it's exciting times for Invex, and I thank you for sharing the story with our investor audience. I always like to finish off with this one, which is, you know, investors are listening to you, they've heard the story, you know, it is up to clinical success going forward, but you are de-risking the project quite substantially. Give me three reasons why investors should be looking at Invex right now. Share price around about 70 cents, market cap about 50 mil, 75 million shares on issue, so fairly tightly held. What are the three reasons that now is a good time?
Well, I would argue exactly to what you said. Our market cap of 50 million relative to the stage gates we're crossing and will cross over the next 6 months, it suggests to me at least, and I can't predict how the market responds naturally. I'm just the guardian of delivering these messages. I think we're in a position for a strong re-rating once the market is comfortable and confident that our processes are strong enough to see us start that trial. So there's re-rating potential to your first point. To your second point, a lot of biotech suffer this problem of sustained share price re-rating is often constrained by the fact that they need more money.
Yeah.
And so investors are pretty savvy on this stuff. They will typically sell down a stock where they're perceived to become issued. In Invex's case, 32.7 million in the bank, 0.4 million corporate burn. Yes, we will accelerate our burn for R&D purposes. However, it's good burn, if I can call it that. And so we're not needing to raise money to complete this program for Presendin in IH. That's number two, which preserves obviously the number of shares on issue. Number three, and this is something I don't love to necessarily harp on, but it's an observation nonetheless, and that being If you compare and contrast where Invex sits today based on those two former measures and based on the plans we have in the stage we're at, notionally phase three with an orphan indication, if you compare and contrast our market cap with that of a handful of repurposed orphan or phase three peers listed on ASX, I would argue we are trading at a very steep discount based on that comparable sort of basket of companies.
There you
go. That's a very simple financial articulation. Probably doesn't do a lot of justice to different companies, but nonetheless, it's just an observation.
Well, it's an observation that you're saying that, you know, where you're at and how much you've de-risked the project, that you are potentially one for you guys, the investors out there, to have a look at. We're looking for clinical success. They have de-risked the project quite substantially. Dr. Tom Duthie, thank you so much for talking with us today. Go Invex, and I wish you all the best. As I said earlier, ladies and gentlemen, the ASX code is IXC. Go check them out. Thanks for joining me, Tom.
Pleasure, Kerry. Thank you.